This morning, let me just share some few thoughts with you. I will not attempt to teach or so. I will just share thoughts. And we've been treating this month on the God of miracles. We've also said that miracles are because God is. Meaning miracles exist because there is God. Somebody asked me on one of the social network and said, well, if we are supposed to be for signs and wonders, why do we cry for miracles? Very simple. If God says we are for signs and wonders, then we need those miracles in order to be for signs and wonders. That is not supposed to be some rocket science. That is, God does things in our lives, and I think the problem with most people is that they already have a concept of miracles. They already have a concept. However, I've made it simple and we've shared it with ourselves that miracles are a deviation from natural laws. That is, if they say that something should go this way, when a miracle occurs, means that there is a supernatural hand that changes the course by which that thing should go. It's a deviation from natural laws. And we found that one of the reasons why it is possible and why it is important is that God is not a captive of his own laws. That is, if there is anything called the laws of nature and is set up by Almighty God or the invincible hand that created the heavens and the earth, God is not bound by those laws. It can move when it wants to move. It can change whatever it wants to change. Why? And I don't think that should be some, again, that should not be some rocket science, because even man, when man discovered that there is something called the law of gravity, man made up his mind to float in the air until he decides to come down. And he was able to break that law. And they say whatever goes up must come down. Well, man decided we will go up and come down at will. Now, if man can do that by sheer determination, then it is possible for Almighty God to do what he wills to do by his own power. So that's why I know there is somebody here this morning that is a candidate for a miracle. I thought the amen would be better than that. If you've had things this morning that you've calculated, this is how this will go. And that is how that will go. And most of us have our calculation based on what others have told us, or possibly our experience in life. The things that we've experienced that tells us that it is at the end of the month, I earn so amount. When I earn that amount, it goes here and this goes there, and this is for this and that is for that. And that's how I live. And that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God says that there was a time that I took the children of Israel out of Egypt in the wilderness. And there was no daily provision. They had nothing to rely on because they were in the wilderness. So again, it reminds us of one of the things that we shared last week, that those who are candidate for miracles are actually those who are helpless. And when you get to a place of helplessness, then you are a candidate for miracle. That God also intentionally takes us to the place or places of helplessness where our own energy and strength cannot actually achieve some things or do some things. Then God says, now you're ready for me. As long as a man is intelligent and they have their own logic put together, God says, great. That's very great. That's very brilliant. You don't need me. You don't need me. Be your God, be your helper. But for those of us who have passed through the seas of intelligence, you've crossed the seven seas of intelligence, and you've actually come to a place where you've discovered that intelligence, as great as it is just within my head and the head of somebody else. But there is an infinite God. There's a God who is the maker of heaven and earth. There is a God that set the boundary of the seas, and he commanded the water not to move past those boundaries. There is a God that created the constellations, the stars and the galaxies, the Orions, and that is the same God. Let me tell you something. I chose the Bible reading for this morning, Jeremiah 31. The New King James says that the Lord has appeared to me of old. And then I tried to read other translations, and I found out that what people actually believe when the Bible says that God has appeared to, when Jeremiah said, the Lord has appeared to me of old, what they actually think that means is that God appeared to me long ago. He appeared to me ages ago. Let's see it in the New King, the Message or the Amplified. Look at the Amplified. I just want you to correct something about that, you know. And they tried, because if Jeremiah the prophet said, the Lord has appeared to me of old, what does that mean? He's appeared to me in ancient times. The Lord appeared to me of old. Israel saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Message Bible. Thank you, Ma. You can have this back. Thank you for the very lovely technology piece. Pastor Kojo, where's your home? Let's do a show of technology this morning. All these pastors are on point. Pastor. Okay. This must be from Ghana. iPad made in Ghana. From Kumasi Market. The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I've loved you. Okay, I just want to prove something. Thank you. Pastor Mark, where is your own iPad? Let's just do a show of iPads this morning. If you're a first timer here, don't worry. We're just... Okay, this one is from Nigeria. That will be worse than Kumasi Market's one. Guarantee. Okay. You see what I said? It's not working. Don't worry. We understand why. You know, someone gave me a gist this morning, said three people were called to come and mend a fence at the White House that was broken. So one of them is from India, an Indian. The other one, a Chinese man. And then the third one, a Nigerian. So three of them went there. The Chinese man went around the fence and looked at it. So they placed the official man who they will talk to. And the Chinese man looked and said, okay, this will cost 700. So they said, break it down. He said, 300 for material, 300 for labor, and $100 for my own profit. So the Indian man also. Meanwhile, the Nigerian man was walking around looking at them. The Chinese man also said 700, said 300 for this. So it was the same. So they came to the Nigerian man who, and by the way, when both of them, before they gave their estimation, they took a tape rule and all the things and measured it and knew. So they came to the stone of the Nigerian man and they said, how much is it? The man said, 2,700. They said, how did you come to that? You didn't even measure anything. What? Break it down. He said, 1,000 for me. And then the official said, 1,000 for you. They said, so what of the 700 remaining? He said, 700 to employ the Chinese man who gave you the estimation. So we employ him to build it. Oh, Lord. When he said the Lord has appeared to me of old, now the Lord could not have appeared to Jeremiah of old, because Jeremiah, when God called him, he was only 17. So when he said the Lord appeared to me of old, he couldn't have been talking about the times that God appeared to him being many years ago. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I only got that verse as I was praying this morning, and I prayed to a point where God reminded me when I was a teenager and I was praying and seeking the face of the Lord. This said, Lord, I want your power, and I've been praying for many days actually. And then in the middle of those days, the Lord appeared to me also of old. He came as, please listen to this, don't shout amen or hallelujah yet. Let me just drive home my point. He came as the Ancient of Days. And I didn't understand why. He came as the Ancient of Days because the appearance of Jesus that I saw was not he that is or he that is to come. He was he that was. And he said to me, he said, well, you've been praying, you want an encounter, I'm here now. The Lord appeared to me of old. It's not the times and the season. And he took me to I saw a mighty door, and I've told you this before if you are a member of this church. So a mighty door, and the entrance of that door actually is the surface of the heavens, of these clouds of heavens that we can see. And the door is as big as your eyes can see. But the thing about the door is that it opened from the bottom up, so that it did not open or split into two. It was a door. And so when God actually, when Jeremiah said the Lord appeared to me of old, is speaking about the manifestation of God in a certain way. So what we are saying, in other words, is that when he appears of old, he's talking about the works of creation, the things that God did by himself, the power of God, the ability of God. And when you minus the ability of God from your life, all you have is your own intelligence and your own power, which, by the way, apart from the fact that it is not enough, will fail you when economy fails. Babylon is built, like they say, on the strength of the ignorant. So a system is working until they encounter a problem, because the world, as old as it is still going through a phase of experiment. But those who win in life are those who believe in the ability of God. They believe in the power of God. They believe in the power of his resurrection. They believe that for with this our God, nothing will be called impossible. Have you also heard that God is the one that spoke to the Virgin Mary and said that you're going to conceive a child? And I said this last week. If God says to Mary, you will conceive a child, all that Mary needed to do was to believe what God says. God did not need someone that already has a child in order to conceive a child, so that the entrance of the Messiah will not be built on the intelligence of man, not even on the intelligence of nature. That is why I know that what God is about to do in the life of the person sitting next to you, what God is about to do in the life of the person sitting in front of you, again, is what eyes have not seen. Can I hear a better amen than that? Because that's what God specializes in. You cannot reason or logic that one out. So what we are actually saying for the month of February is that we're going to have to shut down logic. Why? It's not really getting the word anywhere. We're going to shut down our own logic and our own intelligence. Why? So that we can allow the power of God. We can allow the finances of heaven. We can allow the provision of heaven to eat our life like a tsunami until we will not have leg to stand anymore. That a mighty wave of prosperity. Who am I talking to this morning? I said a mighty wave of prosperity. A mighty wave of the abundance of God is about to eat the life of your neighbor. Shout a believing amen. That's what God specializes in. You don't calculate God based on what you now have. Well, now that I now have a better job, I can now expect more from God. No. No, my friend. Now, not the other way around, it should be here. Now that I'm so broke, now I should expect the power of God. Now that I've got nothing in my pocket, now I'm ready for God's prosperity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh God, am I in the wrong church this morning? The best time for Peter to experience a net-breaking catch of fish was not his best days. You remember that night, everything that Peter knew or knows about catching fish, he has done everything. Maybe throw the net this way. Maybe he was a graduate from Cambridge University about fish and fishing. Maybe even at the middle of fishing, he invited other expert fishermen. Those who will come and say, no, you don't actually fish that way. The way to fish is that go to the left side of the river and then trap the fish and wait a minute. You see, you know the things experts will teach you. And it's done everything. In fact, I was told that the best time to catch fish is at the middle of the night or something like that. It's done everything that he knows to do that night. And all of a sudden, he sees this man coming. And this man said, can I borrow your boat? Because anytime that God is about to move in your life, he first asks you for something in your hand. Something that you probably have, but it's not producing the way you want it to produce. Allow Jesus to use your intelligence. Allow Jesus to use the things that you built up in your life. Allow, as a lady, you're saying, well, I've been looking for a good husband, and I know they are scarce. People go fishing for husband in Africa. I've had one case this week. I said, look, I wanted to tell you before, because anyway, I don't want to reveal anybody's secret. She's on this side of things. Actually, on this side of things. On that side. Tell you what, you will hook in those places is a devil. There's nobody that receives anything except that which is given from above. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yet all the days of my life will I wait until my change comes? Because he knows who is created for me, and any other person I try to fit into who he created for me will fail. I don't care if you like divorce or you hate it or you say God likes it or hate it, it will break because it's not for that space. And so Peter tried everything that he knows that night, and the only thing that was in Peter's hand was his boat. And this guy comes looking too clean to be a fisherman. And he said, lend me your boat. And the Bible says Jesus used his boat and spoke. Even Peter heard what he was saying or not, the Bible never recorded. And after the sermon, Jesus turned to Peter and said, throw your net into the deep. Again, why? Because God is not a captive to his own laws. He's not bound to the laws of fish. He's not bound to the time that you can catch fish. He doesn't care about how old you are. So he says, well, because I'm so old now, nobody will marry me at 32. Yeah, that's what you want, and so be it for you. But he's not bound by any law. And so because you are 32, you go live with the devil. Because you are 45, you go live the rest of your 40 life in hell. Like people say, said hell is empty, all his demons are here in form of men. Anyway, now, God told Peter, cast your net into the deep. And the Bible says once he did that, the Bible says he got so much fish that his net was almost breaking. And he had to beckon to others around and say, come help me in this harvest. There is somebody, Mandebo Shadahande. There is somebody by my right hand side this morning. The harvest that is about to eat your life. You're going to beckon to people to come into the harvest. I said, God is about to release financial harvest. In the name of Jesus. Because actually, when it is God doing it, you can't handle it by yourself anymore. You understand? When it is God doing it, you don't pray and you're hiding something under the clothes and say, don't let people know. When things go wrong in people's lives and they say, don't let people know, I tell them, how did you get it at first? Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and does not add sorrow. I'm having quarrel with my husband, but don't let people know. Okay, no problem. People will not know, but they will know because they already know. Who told them? They know. Because most people are jobless and their job is to know. So they know. But when people know, yeah, they will also know when God knows and God answers you. So God allows people to know. And most times, instead of bothering about God knowing and God sorting you out, you're bothering about who knows. I don't care who knows. Are you hearing me? I told you I won't preach this morning. We'll just share thoughts. And so Peter got a prosperity that night that blew him off his feet. Why? Because a Jewish man stood with another Jewish man and said, cast your net into the deep for a catch. Genesis 13. We've been talking, and I'll major just today, evening, morning and evening on. We just want to talk about prosperity. We were praying yesterday just in the discipleship class. And when we started praying, we got ourselves into praying for finances for some reason. We don't know why. But I just sensed in my spirit that God is moving in a certain way. Wants to bless his people. And one of the noise you hear about people that don't go to church is that, well, the church is all about money. It's all about money. But the Lord illustrated something to me in a vision tonight, overnight tonight, I mean till this morning. And I'll share the thought with you. When people say the church is all about money, ask them, what are you all about? Because you wake up Monday morning and go work from morning till night. What are you looking for? Oh, I just love Tesco. No. It's the way they just put the cheese that I'm excited about. I love to see cheese and butter. Or I like to see the teal, the way people move around the teal. You see? They move around and everybody is moving around. You see white, you see black, you see. Oh no, I just love nothing. The way I inject people and the way they scream when I inject them. No. You like money. You're there because you need money. You need finances. And you do that from morning till night. And only when I came to this country, I realized that people don't even just work from morning till night. They work from night till morning again. I said, which one is this again? I didn't know. But then it dawned on me because, and then I remember that where I came from, I mean, because it's Africa, you need your own gate men or so. So we have gate men, people to guide you from armed robbery or attack at night. Well, really, they don't do nothing, they just sleep. So there are people you actually pay for sleeping. So come, let me what do they employ you to sleep at my gate? So when, but when we came here, we realized that people actually, I didn't know. Someone would say, oh, of course, people Nazis walk overnight, and I didn't know. Okay. What got me into that now? That's the problem right there. What? Aha, thank you. God bless you. Money is on the mind of these people in front. Pastor Kojo was asking how much they sell Bentley yesterday. I said, Pastor Kojo, with all these Bible verses in your head, I thought what you're waiting for is to just go to heaven. That holiness is what we stand for. Prosperity? What's that? No, no, no. iPad? No. And when people put opinion on Facebook or Twitter or internet after news, they say, oh, all these pastors is about money. Can't they just sell their car and give it to the poor? Right? And you're using iPad. Can't you sell your iPad and give it to the poor? Clap. Thank you. You're angry that a pastor is riding a car. You're saying, can't he sell it and give it to the poor? After all, people are poor. And you're using iPad. That thing costs about, how much now? Between 300 to 600, let's just say, depending on whatever you're using. And there are poor people that haven't eaten one square meal, and you are using computer. Hypocrite world, isn't it? Of course, we know there are people who go to the extreme of greed. We know. We know there are pastors who go to the extreme of everything. We know. We know that, and that's there. But because of that, that therefore means that the church cannot talk about money, the church cannot believe God for money, the church cannot pray for money, and the church cannot give money. Why? Because there are some people that go to the extreme. No. The reality is still remains the same. That's why I wanted to show you something this morning, that I began to realize that when they say, look at that guy, he's an Illuminati. Look at that guy, he believes in the devil. In fact, when they say, look at that guy, he has sold his soul to the devil. You know, one of the signs of that guy, where what makes people actually believe, is that he has too much money. Are you with me this morning? They say, oh, it's gone to, and those of us who grew up from the village like I did, we'll say, that guy just got money all of a sudden. How? And we believe he's going to do something. He's going to join a cult. Why? Because there is something about the instinct of man that says that he must have done something to warrant such a sudden wealth. And so it looks more like wealth is associated with the devil. The devil is a liar. The devil was a homeless guy that was kicked out of heaven, skimmed his way to get what belongs to Adam. Because everything, the gold of South Africa, the diamond of Sierra Leone, everything in this earth was given to Adam. And the devil skimmed his way to get it back from Adam. He is the thief, actually. He's the one that stole, really. So if you want to title what I'm telling you this morning, call it. I have titled this morning, you have the right to be blessed. You have the right to be blessed. Everything that the devil showed Jesus in the Mount of Temptation, and he said, look at all the earth. He probably showed him the oils in Saudi. He probably showed him the gold mountains. Showed him the beautiful things of the earth, where silver and gold is hidden. And he said to Jesus, he said, worship your God before me, and I'll give you all these things. And like I told you before, if it was a lie, it wouldn't be a temptation. He stole it. But that's what Jesus came back to get, you know. Are you still here with me? Jesus came back and paid the price for everything that was stolen by the devil, so that it no longer belongs to him. How do I know that? The New Testament shows, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was so very rich, yet he became poor, so that you might through his poverty become rich. He became poor so that I can become rich. He got it back from the devil. It belongs to him. It belongs to you and I. You don't begin to limit yourself and say, Pastor, with everything I'm going through, if you are going through financial hardship, you are just in the right place right now. Because that's where God can bless you. Why? So that all the glory can be to him and not to your nursing home. Are you hearing me? Are you sure? So if the hallmark of somebody that has joined, by the way, the word Illuminati is not an occultic word. It means light. You understand? Okay. Now, before the advent of this exploit by the devil, I realized that when you study through the Old Testament, you will realize that there is only one key to a prosperous life. Prosperous life can be good children, whatever, you know what I'm talking about? Good children. A lady that is prospering has a good home. It's a blessing from the Lord. When we do not know it before we know God, we would have gone into homes thinking that I have to look for a husband or I have to look for a wife. But God says, no, it's really part of the package that I have for you. It's supposed to be part of it. It's the blessing of the Lord. The same applies to the man, because he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So God is the original one from the beginning, that when a man is actually walking with God, he is always referred to as very rich. In the Torah, in the Old Testament, the way you know those who are walking with God is that they are very, very blessed financially. That's how you know that they were walking with God in the Old Testament. Now, I've taken my time out to study this. Look at Genesis chapter 13. If you read from verse 12, you will see that God had commanded Abraham and said, get out of your father's house, get out of your country. Get out of your country, get out of where you are. And then by the time you get to 13, verse 1, let me just quickly read this and I'll stop any moment from now. Then Abraham went up from Egypt. Now, please look up for a minute. Any other time that you see the word Abraham and Egypt, that especially when you see that Abraham is traveling to a place, they will say, and Abraham went down to Egypt. And Abraham went down. You will never see that when he's going in, he went up. But here, he went up from. Somebody is going up from this morning. Amen. Can I hear a better amen? Amen? He went up from Egypt. Egypt represents the world. He went up from the world. The Egypt and Babylon means the world and the way they do their things. Don't be stuck in that system. And God demonstrated this for me, and I want you to please listen. Overnight tonight, brought two men, because I'm also learning in the school of prosperity. He brought two men. Can I have two men run to the stage? He brought two men. This man here walks in where? Let's just choose somewhere. Where? Parliament. but he's not a lawmaker, but he works there. It must be the barman or the cleaner. No, so choose somewhere else. This man works wherever he works, okay? Tesco. And he goes to work from 6 in the morning because he has to wake up and go catch bus and whatever he has to do. This other man by my left does not work anywhere. The reason why he doesn't work anywhere is because he's a Jewish man. And they've offered him jobs that would take his Sunday away from him. And he says, I can't. Or it's Saturday, or it's Monday, or it's Tuesday. And he says, I can't. And the reason why he can't is simple. God told me this in a dream. It's not that a voice. Just the way I'm describing this to you was the way God illustrated this. Listen to me. The reason why God blessed Abraham. If you've read, let me read this again. Verse 13 said, then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Verse 2 says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Let me tell you what that means. The Bible never said he was rich in currency, because that's not richness. When somebody is still saying, well, I think I'm okay, I have 100,000 in bank account, they haven't known what prosperity is. Riches is calculated in substance of gold and silver. Because you see, money can crash tomorrow morning. You can wake up tomorrow and pounds or dollars is no longer strong. What is the strongest currency in the world? Wait. Yeah, go on. No. Money, currency now. Aha, I know that's what everybody will say, but that's not true. What? Cyprus? Pastor? No. Pounds? Okay, now God is about to give you money, so you need to study what money is strong. By the time you take 300 Kuwait money, 3,000 of it equals to 7,000 pounds. It's not just double. Are you with me? It's like people are lost this morning. It's like, what kind of church is this? We should talk about the coming of Jesus. Kuwait money is stronger than pounds. I know some people are already thinking, hey, I think I should relocate to Kuwait. Go there. You will be the same that you are in London. If you are not blessed, you are not blessed. Okay? That's what brought you to London in the first place. Now you can't go forward, you can't go back. And people don't have money because they know how to travel. The blessing of God. Now let's quickly do this. I think my time is up. Now, God blessed Abraham. The Bible says he has livestock, gold, and silver. Why? Because God said, I know Abraham. Let me stand here so that you can see me well. He said, I know Abraham for one thing. That if I teach him these things, he will teach his children. He will teach them. Anything that is in the life of your parent. I told one of our young men on Friday. Anything that is in the life of your parent will repeat itself times two in your life. If it is broken home, you will have, if they have it once, you're likely to have it three times, or at least two. And the devil does not operate in the archaic world. He's never done so anyway. He operates, and I use the Yoruba language, but I can't. Now, there's no way to translate it. When somebody is bound to something, you will make a stupid mistake by yourself and say, what just happened? What am I doing? No, you are not that stupid, I told the young man. You are not stupid. It's not about you being stupid. It's something repeating itself. You've been bound to it. He said, but what's the way out of that? I said, that's why deliverance churches are thriving. They tell people, come for deliverance. I said, but I'll give you one way based on my own experience is you use service to God to break that kind of curse. It is service alone that can break it. I'm telling you the truth. Because in service is covenant. It takes a superior covenant to break a lesser covenant. It takes the covenant you have with God on your prosperity profile to break the covenant of poverty. You don't break the covenant of poverty that our parents had. You look into your family and there is really nobody, maybe your dad is comfortable or whatever, but there is really nobody that is high up there. It's a wrong course. The way you break that, God had to take Abraham out and then he cut a private covenant with Abraham and said, Abraham, look, I want to bless you, but you will do me one favor. He said, already I know your heart. I know that you will teach your children the ways of God. But he had to make a covenant with the Jewish nation. That's why everybody in the world can from now till tomorrow be angry with Jewish people, with the Hebrew. Don't abuse them when people are abusing them. What's wrong? You are under a curse. It doesn't matter if you can reason it logically or not. You curse a Jewish man, God says, I will curse you. It doesn't matter who you are. Don't join them. It's not. Don't even go there. They say, but what if it's not true? Why risk it? Hitler could not understand them. He looked at these feeble people because naturally, it will be very scarce to see an Hebrew Israeli with muscles. You see, all those guys with muscles, it doesn't amount to anything. It ends up in security job. If you're not careful, bodyguard. So they are feeble. And Hitler could not understand that these feeble people, a small nation, will have so much power, will have so much wealth, that in stony grounds, on the rock, they will plant seed. I don't know if you've seen any fruit from Israel. And it will be so big on the rock. How can this thing be? What kind of a blessing is this? And so God gave them the Torah and said, this is how you must walk. Remember my Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember my Sabbath. This was the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. Somebody will quickly go and say, but Jesus says Sabbath is not important. Jesus never said that. Jesus said that the Sabbath was created for man and man, not for the Sabbath. What does that mean? I don't therefore have to say, well, when is the real Sabbath day? Saturday. So I will be a Saturday worshiper. No. He said, any day that you choose. And God then illustrated this to me. He said, look at this man here. It wasn't Pastor Mark that he showed. He works for, let's say, 30 hours a week. He can't give me one day. Not one day. Look at this man here. His Jewish father taught him that one day belongs to God. That one day, you can't even switch on your light bulb in the house. You can't do it. No work. It's an honor to God. He said, ask your church people, how many of them, you have to beg people to come to Thursday service. And that's not one day. And the Lord said to me, I'm telling you what the Lord told me in dreams. But God speaks in three ways, dreams and visions and in Urim. This is dreams now. He said, there's no way this one is going to prosper under my own system. He said, if you say Sunday is your worship day, it is your worship day from morning till night. It's not a negotiable deal. I know Abraham. So from Abraham, have you ever read the Bible and seen how stubborn the people of Israel were? You will almost think, if I'm God, I would have killed everybody. And he did at some point, but he couldn't kill everybody because of covenant. Make a covenant with your life and your family. The same way negative covenant works, Children, and I've told you, I said this to a young man, children that are coming from moms or dads with broken home and unpalatable family history, they will repeat the same mistake 6 times. When you pull your head out of God's service, you will suffer big time. Because before a man, you remember I started with, when a person gets prosperity suddenly, they will say he's Illuminati or has gone to the devil for money. Actually, there are money rituals. People sell their soul to get what they want. God says, I started that order. It was God's thing. The devil hijacks it and make it negative. God started it. That if you see a man that is sold out to God, it doesn't mean he will not go through trials. But look at this man. He's a Jewish man. He's under covenant. It's a covenant. The covenant never said that Hitler will not kill 6 million of them. But the covenant says after that, they will come out better than the Hitler that attacked them. Because look at this man. He's under covenant. But covenant don't run on empty stomach. Covenant runs on an arrangement. It's a deal between two people. So you think I will doubt covenant? God says, my covenant of blessing you is in 3 things. Your service to me, your tithe, and your giving. I don't doubt that for a minute. Well, but what if you are not seeing it? No, it's a covenant. There's a covenant right there. It can never, it's not, in covenant, I don't even have to have faith. You understand what I'm saying? If I sow, really, I don't have to have faith. It is a covenant. But God told me finally in the dream that what happens with people is that they respond and then they withdraw. They respond and they withdraw. They respond and they withdraw. And he said, tell your people and my people that that is not covenant. That's not covenant. You haven't even started covenant. Covenant is standing still. So people walk close to God. Deuteronomy 28 shows us. He said, and it shall be if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to obey all that I command you this day. A covenant agreement. He said, the Lord your God will set you high above all other nations. I hope you know. What's this Ahmadinejad guy? Iran has the largest military in the world. Not Korea, actually. It won't take Israel 24 hours to destroy all of them. There's a covenant here. Are we really going to ever be the church that will raise the standard? Then we need people with covenant. Not fickle Christians. Not Christians who run out of the church because they didn't have their way. They were not able to practice witchcraft. Witchcraft is, you know, the word witchcraft came from the word, the Greek word. Funny enough, I was still talking about Greek and Hebrew yesterday. The Greek word for witchcraft is a word coined out from pharmacy. Don't worry, Minister Morris, everything is well. It comes from pharmacy, pharmaceutical and stuff like that, which also comes from the word drug. You see, witchcraft actually is to drug. It's about drug, something you administer to somebody that makes them behave in a different way from what they would have originally done. So children practice witchcraft to their parents. They say, well, if you don't give me this, I will do this. It's called witchcraft. That child is a witch. Kill him. No, sorry. That guy is a witch. Cast the witchy out of it. It's also called the art of manipulation. People will manipulate others without giving them option. So when people ask me, Pastor, what do you think about the law of homosexuality and this and that? I said, I do not care. If there is a law that allows gay to marry, glory be to God. People have the right to choose what they want to do. Simple. You don't bind people with laws. They say Burger King must not sell burger from 12. Why? People are getting obesed. You must not wear shoe. Why? People's legs are getting bigger. So we try to curtail men by law. And the church will also support. Carry placard and say, no gay. No, you must, something must be wrong with you. There is something that is called the freedom of expression. If you want to be a gay, be a gay. If you want to be straight, be straight. If a gay wants to marry, let them marry. But don't force me to marry them. Don't let any law bind people from doing things. It's rubbish. It's not. It's just empty religion. The church will refuse to preach the true gospel. We refuse to send people into politics. We refuse to do all that. The day they want to pass law, they will start sending useless messages around. Don't send those kind of messages to my phone. Ever. It's religious rubbish. Let the law allow people, if the law wants to allow people to do things, the truth is still the truth. Preach the truth. God said, behold, this day I lay before you life and death. Choose life and you shall live. Simple. Not if you choose death, I will pass a law to make sure that you are killed. But let's go back to this. My time is really up. The Jewish people prosper because of covenant. The Tesco people don't prosper. Listen. You know what I'm trying to say, so forget that. The Tesco people don't prosper because of human effort. Human strength. The ability of your own power. But there is covenant here. That as long as that Jewish man keeps his Sabbath day pure, his service to God, the things that God says don't touch, e.g. tithe. And I've always told people, the tithe is never yours. Now, if you ask me as a pastor, Pastor, what is your honest opinion about tithe? I would almost say people should not pay. My opinion. Because really, I'm thinking, how much does this person get? But that's my opinion. But that's not God's opinion. God's opinion says, it is mine, not yours. So, you cannot decide what to do with it. I've made that decision. And some of us have crossed that level of tithe. This is a covenant-based life that we want to live. You may sit down. Please put your hands together for them. God blessed Abraham because he has a covenant agreement, and his children's children have to be blessed because of that covenant. You have the right to be blessed. You have the right to live the best kind of life that you want to live. When prosperity becomes estimated by the kind of bag you carry, that's no longer prosperity. When people enter into competition in church to make sure I carry a Gucci bag or a Louis Vuitton bag, those are not people with money. Those are people who money has. That's not money. That's not prosperity. The real prosperity is the owner of the Gucci production industry. You understand what I'm saying? That is the place of influence. That is the place that God wants to get you to. That is his desire for you and I. And I say, well, I just need healing in my body. Healing is yours. Just the same way prosperity is yours. Jesus paid for everything at the same time. And we don't need to shortchange ourselves by receiving some and leaving some. But it's based on our love for God. It's based on our covenant arrangements with him. Just like the way when curses are working in the life of somebody, those curses, the demons are released to make sure they marry the wrong person. The curse will make sure that they hook up with the wrong person. The curse will make sure that they make mistakes. The same way the blessing works. The blessing will make sure that you are at the right place at the right time. The blessing will make sure that you marry the right person. The blessing will make sure that you walk into a certain favor at a certain time. The blessing, the angels of that blessing will order your steps. Just the same way.